CBSi in the world. I'm John Batts with my colleague Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President of Stevens Incorporated, who traveled widely across the world island, Eurasia, as senior advisor to the Secretary of State. Moscow presents a quandary. Moscow is a broken city, a broken capital. The sanctions regime, the flight of its best and brightest to other capitals, Yerevan, Buenos Aires, Nur-Sultan, Paris, Berlin, the young people fleeing, voting with their feet. We're told that 22,000 Russians are in Buenos Aires, many of them young, pregnant women, to escape the reach of the authoritarian state in Moscow. So what does the world look like on the other side of the Ukraine conflict? There will be a ceasefire. There will be a negotiation. There will be diplomatic accommodation. It won't satisfy anyone, but it will happen. And then what? Mary, is Russia now capable of being reintroduced into Europe in some fashion? Or is it now going to be ring-fenced for the balance of this century? Can you tell traveling, Mary?
Well, the answer to that question, I think, depends on how exactly the war ends and who wins. And we're nowhere near the war's end, John. This conflict could drag out for years. Russia has the capacity to keep fighting for at least a year or two today. And that's not even taking into account the potential for, as we discussed in the prior segment, Chinese help in the form of lethal aid to Russia. And this is happening, too, remember, in an era where there is a bit of war fatigue in Washington because our political leadership has not stood up and explained to the American people why we are involved, what the stakes are, and the outcome that we want to see at the end of all of this. But what will the world look like? Well, if Russia wins, the world, I think, will look very, very dangerous. You'll have Russia bordering Poland, a NATO ally. You would have a huge surge, I think, of weaponry and U.S. troops over into the eastern part of Europe. You might see a rearmament of, or shall I say, an increase in armament in those nations bordering Russia. You would see an emboldened communist China. You would see many countries like Saudi Arabia in the Gulf try to play both sides, straining our relationship with those nations. And you would see a free world far more at risk as a nation like communist China, which is backing Russia, feel emboldened by such a victory. So there's an enormous amount at stake if Russia wins. If Ukraine wins, then you see a very different world. You see exactly the flip side of what I've described. But this is not some kind of boutique conflict that we can ignore here in the United States. This is a conflict that is going to shape the era of not just us, but our children and potentially our grandchildren. And so it is critical that Ukraine win. And I'm not sure that the American public is really being given the kind of guidance and information from our leadership to make that clear.
You mentioned war fatigue. You traveled to Washington now again. Is it bipartisan war fatigue? We have 30 seconds, Mary.
I think it's more on the Republican side because the Republicans see a way to differentiate themselves from Democrats because this is a Democrat-led administration that is helping Ukraine. And so there are some Republicans on the isolationist right that are questioning the wisdom of the conflict. But the only reason that they're able to do that, John, in my view, is because the president has not sat on TV and given multiple national addresses explaining the stakes and why we're there and what it means for our future. I think he would be well advised to do that.
Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State, in a banking crisis, in the second year of a war, in a pandemic that has left us momentarily, and with the question of inflation damaging everyone's future. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.